So my brother lives down the coast.
Mm.
Every day, gets up, goes down to his local beach,
yeah,
goes for a swim, takes some photographs, puts them on Instagram, people like it.
He swam with a dolphin, didn't he?
He swam with a dolphin, filmed the dolphin.
Remember?
And he's got his car park, because he would every day.
Park in the same spot.
You'd park in the same spot. Guess who's taken his car park? You won't guess.
You.
No. I don't know why I asked the question, because you won't guess.
Is it a famous person?
Well, it's famous, but it's not a person.
Oh, wow. Okay. Mr. Whippy Van.
Well, I'm not going to say you're on the right track. You're at the low end of what could happen. What could happen on a beautiful beach?
A surf school.
No, hitting more.
Food?
More. No.
Not food? No. On a beautiful beach, models.
Yeah, close.
Models.
Yeah.
An influencer.
No.
An Instagram model.
Gee, wow. No. That'd be interesting. No.
So if someone that turns up to a beach and they need to go to the beach, a personal trainer.
No. No. They've taken not only his car park, they've taken the whole car park.
Oh, wow. Is this like
think about it.
It's like a driving school. They've taken the whole car park. Are filming a location?
Yes.
Yeah, they're filming a show.
Yep.
So what is it, Offspring or?
Netflix.
Netflix.
Netflix has taken his car park.
And so what are Netflix filming?
Well, I don't know, but I think it's a kids show or something. Anyway.
God, that's annoying.
It is annoying because you're going, hang on, I pay my rates.
Hmm.
You know, you're not going to be, I've been here for a long time. Yeah. I pay my dues.
Yeah, fly in, fly out people.
You come in. Oh, but now, you would know about this. Does the council make money out of that?
Yeah, they get paid. Yeah, they get paid a permit and stuff. It's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money. So the council's going, this is our number one beach.
Bit of coin. Yeah. I don't know about it. I know where I live, they charge a lot. But this has happened to me. This happened to me twice. I got offspringed once.
Right.
Driving the local pool.
Yeah.
I see they've got all the windows and doors open, which is really unusual. There's all these tables and chairs with umbrellas and girls in bikinis handing out drinks. I'm like, what is going on here? Turn up. They're filming Offspring over there.
Oh, yeah.
And then the local butcher shop got closed down, and then it got renovated. And someone was setting up like a ye olde milk bar with milkshakes and lollies, and they had displays. And I said, what is this? Looks fantastic. What's going on? When's this opening? The guy went, nah, it's Dr. Blake. It's that ABC show.
Well, they won't be doing that anymore.
But anyway. They won't be doing that anymore, no.
Yeah. That's really quite annoying, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah.
Do you have like a spot, like at home, that's yours?
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's interesting. Our neighbours who are older have their spot and you don't park in their spot.
Yeah. So, because at the front of your house you have your spot and you go, hang on.
Yeah.
Someone's parked in front of my house.
Yeah, that's annoying.
Whenever you're parking in your street, if you're parking in front of someone else's house, you go, I know this person doesn't have a spot at the front, so I'm okay.
Yeah, yeah.
But I know
this
guy does have a spot at the front and I'm not parking here.
Oh, yeah. Well, one of our neighbours has got a ute and he works early mornings. And when we see the ute in front of a house, it's like, oh. Because it starts at 6:15 every morning.
Yeah.
Blah, 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 blah. Outside your window. And it wakes you up.
Yeah, yeah.
So when you see the ute, you're like, oh, no, come on.
Now, have you got a spot for you inside your house beside your bed?
A chair, maybe, but I don't have a desk. You know, all the kids and my wife seem to have desks, but I don't even have a desk. I just sort of sit on the
kitchen
table.
I reckon I chose the chair at the table when we first moved into the house because I could see the television. I was the only one that could see the television.
Yeah, my dad used to do this.
I could see the kitchen. Yeah. I could see the back door. I was like feng shui. I had it all covered.
Well, what do the FBI say? They an FBI agent, they always sit with their back to the door. They want to see everyone coming and going.
Well, yeah, I had my back to the door, so I probably shouldn't. But I had to choose the TV over the front door.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. Well, we all sit in the same places at dinner time.
When we come in here to do the podcast, we sit in the same spot. I notice sometimes when we go out somewhere, it'll be sort of a similar sort of configuration at the table when we go out as a family. I'm just trying to think what it is.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what it is. It's
my mother-in-law used to say it's like church here. You've all got your certain seats where you all sit.
Yeah.
She reckons in church people would sit in the same seat every week and have their favourite seat.
I wonder if the listeners are listening to this podcast in their spot.
In their favourite spot.
Wonder what their because their favourite spot might be sitting in the car.
I love sitting in the backyard. I've got a seat in my backyard.
Yeah, I wish I don't really have a favourite spot. Unfortunately, I mean, is it under a tree?
Yeah, it's under shelter. Yeah,
and you'll sit there and on a chair.
Yeah, it's like a metal chair. It's quite comfortable though, and you just look out into the backyard.
And eyes closed.
Eyes closed, or sometimes you can be reading or you're talking on the phone.
We all need a place like that. So, men have their sheds, women have their work rooms where they like to go do things. I just think that's really important. So, I to all the people at Anglesey, I say hello and that you've lost your car park for a week.
It's annoying.
Anyway, I turned up on set.
Yeah, of course. Do they know who you were?
Well,
some of the crew would know you, wouldn't they?
Well, I did that thing where...
Oh, no, you didn't walk over and go, g'day, guys.
I did that thing where I went for a swim and I walked back to my car the other way, which just happened to be right through the middle of the set.
And did they say, hey, Glenn, how are you?
Well, I'd been for a swim and had a towel and I was just holding my towel in a certain way. It looked like I was standing there naked with the towel.
Did you know the actors or?
No, I didn't see the actors. I saw some of the crew and then they started coming over and going, then they started taking photographs of me and going, hey, wait, what are you doing? Do you want a coffee? Do you want to sit down? Do you want
to? That says to me there's a lack of famous people on their set. If they're like,
okay.
You know what I mean? It's just.
So anyway.
It's exciting.
Yeah, very exciting.
Exciting times.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting to see. Often when you see your place, your area, I know when they film, we're from Melbourne, often I'll.
Yeah, it's exciting.
When you see shots of Melbourne, you go, wow, we're looking all right.
Yeah,
and
it looks good.
And you know how it really looks, and then you see how it looks on film, you go, wow, I'm impressed with my backyard, you know.
Yeah, it's good.
So anyway, there you go.
Wow, Netflix. Oh, this show will be on Netflix one day. Don't worry about that. Here comes the music. Yeah. Good one.
Thanks.
Hello and welcome to Somehow Related Now. Please welcome your hosts, Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
Well, anyway, welcome to the show, and we're not blocking anyone's car park, that's for sure.
No, not blocking anyone in. We're in our special spots in our, and we're dressed similar today. We've got beige pants on, and you've got a blue T-shirt, and I've got a grey T-shirt.
Yeah, well,
and
we dress because it's hot in the studio.
Yeah, but I think if you were to head down to Brighton, you'd probably fit in.
Fit in all right.
Yeah, you'd be all right.
Hi, everybody. Hi, Dave. How are the boys? At grandma. We should get a topic. So we got two topics. We've got to work out how they're related. For anyone who came in late, maybe some Brighton people listening. Who knows? What are they? What are they, Sam?
Eminem and the Guinness Book of Records.
Wow.
Oh, God. Look, you're lobbing to... Sam, you lobbed me to Dave's forehand again.
Yeah, Eminem.
Eminem.
Whoa.
What was it? And what was Eminem? What was he big? 90s?
Yeah, huge in the 90s and 2000.
What's his name? Matheson Marshall.
Yes,
Marshall.
From Detroit.
Yeah.
8 Mile was a great movie. You seen 8 Mile? The movie that he's in about his life? No, it's great.
Is that about his life?
Yeah, it's sort of. They have a rap battle.
So is it kind of his life or is it a biopic?
Based
on
his life. Sort of like a biopic, yeah. He's great in it.
Oh, yeah, he's got presence, hasn't he?
He's really good.
Yeah.
And some of his songs, I mean, I traditionally am not a massive hip-hop rap fan. I'm more, you know, new wave, ska, rock. But I like his songs because they've got good melodies.
What is he? He represents the angst, the under...
He's a white rapper, man.
Yeah.
But he gave credit to white rappers before. I mean, I suppose they were the Beastie Boys were white rappers, and they had a lot of cred. But there were also people that were like Vanilla Ice, who, you know, more novelty kind of.
I'm more of a Snoop Dogg guy.
I like Snoop Dogg. He's funny.
Yeah.
He's quite funny.
What's that ad? That ad he's on. It said
this a menu love.
Yeah,
yeah.
And it says paid actor, doesn't it? On the thing, it says paid actor.
He's always been funny though. He's one of those rappers who's quite funny.
He's just got when he does that ad, you go. Some people have just got it, and it's that groove, that beat, that presence.
Yeah,
and he just has it.
Oh, he's great.
You have it. You have it on stage. You got that groove.
I'm like Snoop.
Yeah, you're a bass player.
Bass players
just got to have that walking beat that when they go about their life. You know the rhythm that Dave O'Neill has in his life. We all want a bit of that rhythm in our life.
That rhythm.
Yeah.
Eminem is similar to Snoop in a way, but a bit more serious, maybe. Even though you see him in movies, there's that great scene. Maybe we should play as thinking music in Funny People with Adam Sandler.
Mm.
where Adam Sandler's having dinner with him, and Ray Romano and Seth Rogen are staring at him and talking about him, and Eminem has a go at them. So he's obviously got a sense of humor.
Right. I mean, I'll be really honest, okay? I've heard his music, but I can't keep up.
Oh. Yeah, he does. They're quite quick, his songs.
So do you understand what he's talking about when he...
Well, if you listen to him over and over, I've got one of his songs on my phone. Hang on, what song is it? It's a great song.
You can't play it on the show. You
no, can't, I can't play it, but I can talk
can
about
you,
it.
Can you say some of the lyrics?
Yeah, of course you can say the lyrics.
Yeah. And can you do them like in a rap? Because you're on it. You're on
Round the Outside. Round the Outside is that one.
Yeah.
Two. That sounds like he's funny because
square dancing.
Yes. Well, he is a bit like that. Without Me, that's my favorite Eminem song. Without Me, it looks like a job for me. So everybody's without me. See, I don't know the words, but it's a great song.
Hmm.
And there's Stan, which is about a fan, and that became like a thing. You get Stan, like about the fan. Hmm. Stan, I'm sorry. Is it Stan? Oh, I'm probably getting it wrong. He tells a good story in his songs.
Well, that's what it's all about, isn't it? Telling a story, you know. And he's got the rhythm going on.
Yeah.
And he's got, well, it's rap. What's it? That it's rap, isn't it? Which rap. Where did rap start from? Where begin in the street?
In the streets of New York, man.
It was
black guys and
not gang related. No.
No.
No. Just they were preaching to the you know the underclass. Yeah.
I think that's how it works. I'm not actually quite sure.
Yeah.
But I did a gig for a golf day, a charity golf day.
Big, they love the rap.
They love the rap, the old guys. Yeah. I get up there and do a bit of rap. I used to do a rap. I used to go, what was it? I went down the railway station. I'm full of frustration. I try to buy a ticket. Machine broke. No one fix it. I get on the train. It's full of pain. I see a ticket inspector. I try to deflect it. It's $180. Public transport sucks.
That's pretty good. See, you had me.
I used to talk about how Australian rap is not, they don't have the angst, but there are some good Australian, like the Hilltop Hoods are excellent.
Hilltop Hoods are, yeah.
You like them?
Yeah, well, I met them somewhere. They were fans, and I didn't know who they were. They're on the panel, I think.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, they would have been.
My stepdaughter, Romy, she's a big fan, so I got to do this autograph thing.
Hilltop Hoods.
They did very well at home.
Well, they would love Eminem. Anyway, I did this golf day, and there was a girl there, like a recovering cancer patient, and she was the charity was Make-A-Wish, and she got to meet Eminem. That was her wish. She wanted to meet Eminem. Mm. So when he came to Australia, she went down to his dressing room with her mum, and they hung out with him for an hour.
And did you find out what he was like? Because I imagine he had some angst going on.
The girl said he was really friendly. He talked to them, and the mum said, "I think he was stoned."
Wasn't he? Stoned. He had a lot of drug problems, didn't he? Didn't he have I read somewhere.
Had a lot of fighting with his ex-wife too, and he wrote songs.
Didn't his mum try to sue him or something?
Yeah, it's all messy.
Didn't he go to Elton John to get off drugs?
Yeah, Elton John. He was accused of being homophobic in some of his songs. So him and Elton John sang a song together. And
Elton helped him with his...
Yeah, Elton John, reached out to him and helped him.
Because he was addicted to...
I didn't know anything about the addiction, but I know he helped him with the homophobia stuff. Anyway, he's an interesting guy. He'd be about 50 now, Eminem.
Is he still doing songs now? Is he still...
Yeah, I'd assume. So he still tours. I know that much.
And his biggest song would be...
Oh, Without Me is my favourite one. But Stan, he's got a few. He's got about Slim Shady. He's got about 10 big hits.
And I know, but every song he comes on and just does the rap thing. There's no variation.
No, it's more, But he sort of has melody in his rapping. That's a good thing about him.
Yeah.
It's good tunes. He's got good tunes.
So he would write everything?
Yeah, he'd write it and he'd work with a producer.
And who, so is there melody there?
Yeah, there's melody.
So he would write the melody as well.
Yeah. And Without Me, he's got a great melody in it. So
I reckon you could have been a rapper in another life.
Yeah, rapping. Well, not everyone can rap. Not everyone can rap. I've found this out over the years with working with other comedians. Not everyone can rap.
It's a rhythm thing. Okay, it must be a little trick. It's like doing impersonations. You've got to crack the mold.
You got to listen.
What's the key to the door to doing a rap?
Well, you got to listen to it and imitate it. That's what you got to do.
Because I heard you just talk like that.
I go to the road station, I'm full of frustration. You know, like all the Wham rap.
Oh, yeah.
Remember Wham? I mean, this is the thing. Is what happened was that black guys in New York invented rap music, then the first big hit with a rap in it was Blondie's Rapture. So she did a rap in the middle of Rapture, the song. I think it's Rapture.
Okay.
And then like people like Wham put rapping in their songs. Who were very daggy. You know, they had their rap. You know, they did Wise Guys Realize There's Danger in Emotional Ties. See me single and free. No tears, no fears, but I want to be. One, two, look at you. Death by Matrimony.
Wow. You're impressive.
I think that's Young Guns.
It is interesting, though, that what comes from the street comes from the people.
Yeah.
That's where the real music lives.
It's true.
You know.
It's true.
Yeah, and it's often groups of
country
people,
music was like that.
And it's talking, yeah, and it's talking to me.
It's talking to you, man.
Yeah.
It's talking to you, man.
I don't know what else I can say. Because you've covered very well.
Well, I like Eminem. I've never seen him, but I reckon he's good.
Now, Eminem, what are the lollies?
Yeah, Eminems. Yum.
So M, how do you say,
Well, he's got an E. He's NMM. He's like... I can't say it, but M&M's have got no E's at the front of it. The lolly's got no E's.
So what did he do? His name was Malcolm Marshall. That's a cricketer. That's a cricketer, Malcolm Marshall. Very good fast bowler. Sure. Very good fast bowler. Back when West Indies were the king of the world. He would have gone, I'm going to change my name.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's just, I mean, the rappers have, like Ice-T, that's not his real name. He's a rapper. You know, Ice-T.
Snoop Dogg,
not his real name.
Have you ever thought about what is there a trick to your rap name? Because you know there's a trick to your porn
name. Yeah,
porn name is your first cat,
Susie,
Footso,
and your
first street.
Oh, so I think. Susie Reserve. That's not a very good porn name. What's your porn name?
Yeah, Footso Hillside.
That's not bad. That's like a rapper.
That's not a bad rapper,
that's
is it?
That's not a bad Footso Hillside. Footso better than Susie Reserve.
Can you bring me on? Can you bring me on?
Ladies and gentlemen, here we are at the Detroit Stadium. Eminem's coming on member first. He's support act. What was it again?
Footso Hillside.
Footso Hillside. Yeah, bitches.
Woo! Okay.
Yo. I'm grateful. Where the bitches at? Yo. Footso Hillside here. Yo.
Two old guys trying to be rappers.
See, that's you get gangster rap, which is, you know, you're more, you know, it's like straight out of, there were those guys, what were they called? They had straight out of, it's a prison, straight out of Compton.
I've seen some, and I won't say who, but they're not very PC. It's a lot of
women. Oh, yeah. There's a lot
scantily clad, and it's inappropriate, and women are objectified, and you're going, is that 2021? No. It's not. Why are you getting away with that now? So you go, this is a, you know, transgressing what we know to be appropriate.
Rap's got a history with that kind of thing, and the Beastie Boys were like that when they started. They had that great song, "We Gotta Fight for the Right to Party." Remember that song?
We gotta fight for the right to party.
Every 15-year-old boy loved it. We loved it when we were young. And then they said later on, we were just parodying that kind of music.
Oh, right. There's a good one. Excuse.
There's an out.
Yeah.
We're satirizing it. Yeah. Will you?
Yeah. If you had a rapper name?
Oh, Big Dave. Dave. Slow Dave. Here he is. Slow Dave. Yo, man. Whoa, where you at?
Dave from where are you?
I've been on the 7-Eleven. It's no heaven. You know, get on there. Got a Slurpee. Did some burpees. I'm just making stuff up. Can you believe it?
Jeez. Yeah, I mean, you should sing.
I should do rap battles. I do rap battles. That's what Eminem in the movie does, a rap battle.
I've seen something like that on the TV show where you get up and you...
Yeah, and they do rap battles. Oh, there's like a sync battle thing on... Yeah, they do it on TV.
Oh, that's shocking, that show. Where they... No, hang on. That's not rapping.
You're not thinking of roasting. You're not roasting.
No, I'm thinking about where they... I think they mime a song and it's just like... Lip sync battle.
Yeah, that's crap.
Is that enough?
That's enough on Eminem. Let's do Guinness Book of World Records. Well, I used to love... My kids still love the Guinness Book.
Yeah.
We used to have it at home.
It came out every year because it had to be updated.
Yes.
Yeah. And
so exciting.
I think it started I heard the story. It started back in the 1950s.
Why?
Apparently two guys were having an argument about which, because they were out shooting birds and they were just talking about the longest flight of the some sort of bird.
Mm.
And they went, which bird can fly the longest? And then they worked it out. And then they went, well, that's the record holder. And then they thought, well, they'd be interesting to be able to go to a place where you could
see
and read about the thing that could... But it's blurred out into being anything can be in the Guinness Book of Records.
Like, yeah, it's a bit of a freak show now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some of it's quite depressing in that it's like the man with the most tattoos, and you go, I don't want to look at.
Yeah, I know.
Or the man with the facial piercings, or
and they kind of got into sideshow stuff where they've got like attractions now, and you can go like the Gold Coast used to have one, Guinness Book of World Records. You know,
oh, would it be a traveling show?
Yeah, like a traveling show kind of thing. Yeah,
oh, that'd be $5 well spent to go and have a look at that. But I think there is a real one in New York.
Yeah,
Empire State Building.
There's a whole museum. To get into the Guinness Book of Record, there's a whole process you have to go through, I believe. And who, of course, what famous Australian's in there? Bob Hawke.
For drinking the longest beer, something or beer? What? Yeah. No? What? Yeah. What is it?
Yeah, it's drinking beer.
But drinking beer, not as a Prime Minister.
No, when he was at Oxford or Cambridge, when he was a Rhodes Scholar.
He did, and he drank that. Because I thought what Booney had, the Melbourne to London.
Yeah, beer cans.
Beer can.
But I don't know if that's in the Guinness Book of World Records.
Well, it bloody well should be.
It should be.
Yeah.
You know, Limo, I'm sure.
The great Limo.
The comedian. Was in. I remember seeing a thing on Rove, when Rove Live used to be on, and they crossed to him outside the comedy festival town hall, and he was trying to break the Guinness Book of World Records for the most jokes in an hour.
Oh, so in other words, doing them quickly or just doing?
I don't know. We could call him.
Could we ring him and find it? Because he's been through the process.
Well,
he's been,
I think.
Yeah.
I can't remember whether he got into the book or he applied to get into the book or something happened. But there used to be a Channel 7 show called Guinness Book of World Records where they would break records and stuff.
Yeah.
Were you asked to do that or? What would you be in there for?
Longest
speech.
Most inappropriate thing to do with no pants on. I don't know.
Longest running TV series, that kind of thing. No, you'd have to be in Neighbours or something to be in that.
Yeah. Well, I don't think I've done anything to.
Come on. Surfing, some kind of. There'd be surfing records in there.
Yeah. Well, that would be. Yeah. Kelly Slater, he's won more records than anybody. Are you trying to find Limo's number as we speak?
Yeah, here we go. I'll call him right now.
This could be exciting radio. Let's prank him. Podcasting. Wow, this is happening live.
Live.
I can't believe this is incredible.
Him? Oh, pizza's ready.
Hey, it's Glenn and Dave from Telstra. How are you?
Hey. Hello, Glenn and Dave from Telstra.
Oh, yeah.
Finally, my MBN's getting installed.
Hey,
it's always a dream of mine to have Uncle Arthur install my MBN.
This is our podcast. Did you know what we're doing? We do a podcast, and guess what? Your name came up.
Yeah.
And Dave said, why don't we ring him now to find out? And what we do on the podcast is we have two topics given to us by Sam. And the topics this week are Eminem and Guinness Book of Records. And Dave said that you, Limo, legend that you are...
Was a rapper. No, I had a memory that you were in the Guinness Book of World Records for telling the most jokes or something, was it?
Yeah. So that is true, but... Can I just give it a little bit of context for you?
Yeah.
Right. So I did a show at the Adelaide Fringe in 2002 called My Goodness, My Guinness, which is a Guinness beer ad.
Right.
But it was called My Goodness, My Guinness about the Guinness Book of Records. And as promotion for that show, I thought it might be fun to try and break the Guinness World Record for most jokes told in an hour.
Yeah. Good one.
So I did that in Rundle Mall, kind of like a busker, I guess, at a lunchtime thing. Adam Spencer gave it a big pump up on Triple J's. So there's a big crowd there. And I beat the record, but I never sent it in because I thought, well, you know, who cares? All I was worried about was promotion for my show.
Right.
Then I did the show in Melbourne in 2003. So I did the same stunt out the front of the town hall and Rove covered it.
Yeah, I saw that.
Crosses on Rove.
Yeah.
And I did it again, but again, I didn't send it in because I didn't care. Then 2 years later, Channel 7 rang me. And they said, hey, we're doing a TV show about the Guinness Book of Records. We hear that you did this. Do you mind doing it again? And we'll film it. So I did it a third time at the Rhino Room in Adelaide.
Yeah.
And that time was all official. And I ended up, I broke the record there. It was held by Tim Vine, an English comedian. I told, his record was 499. I told 549 jokes an hour.
So it's a speed thing. It is actually a speed thing?
It's a speed thing, yeah. And all of my jokes were just internet jokes. Like, they weren't my jokes.
But how do you you can remember that many in a row? Can you do that? I can't remember one joke.
The rule at the time, Glenn, is that they said you could take 20 cards, like little cards onto stage with you, with, I think, two or three words on each.
Oh, wow.
As prompters, right? Yep. So I had things in categories. So I had man walks into a bar jokes, knock-knock jokes, you know, my mate's so fat jokes, all just in those categories. So the words kind of – so I remembered the categories, you know what I mean? And then the words reminded me of the categories. So I got to 549, and it was funny because every joke has to be laughed at to be included.
Oh.
So if you go back to the vision, you can hear I've got about four mates there, and after every joke you hear at least one person go,
Was there someone there with a clicker?
Yes, yes. So someone was counting. Grant Daniel was the host of the show, so he was there. And then, so I'm in the book, in the 2009 version of the Guinness Book of Records. There's a section, if you bought that book in Australia, there's a section at the back specifically for Australia, and I'm in that sort of extra bit in the 2009 Guinness Book of Records.
Wow.
That's I guess you put that on your posters for any upcoming shows you have, of course. You know. Yes, holder of Guinness Book of Records, appearing tonight.
I haven't used it much just because it's just not reflective of the type of comp. Like, I'm a storyteller.
Yeah, you're not,
on stage. And as much as I've obviously got jokes, I'm just not that kind of guy on stage. Whereas Tim Vine, whose record I broke, he is that comedian 100%.
Yeah, I saw him once. Velcro, what a ripoff. That's one of his jokes. You know, quick puns and one-liners.
Totally.
You did a show on the Guinness Book of Records. Did you research? Did you go meet anyone from the Guinness Book of Records? Is there an official or someone?
Yes. So, I mean, I became a real Guinness Book of Records nerd. And I say, sorry, just before I go to that, I need to set the record straight. My record has been since taken off me by Guinness because they retrospectively changed the rules so you can't take any prompt cards onto the stage.
Yeah. What? Yeah.
So the record has been taken off me and it's gone back to Tim Vine. So, anyway, that's the final piece of shame on that.
Well, it's interesting in seeing you do that because number one, congratulations for your role in Utopia. And I looked at you in that show and I thought, wow, that's incredible because the dialogue is so well written and it's quite dense and the rhythm between you and especially Rob Sitch was so precise and so clear. How did you have a trick for that? How did you do that? Because that's something that I'm not great at learning lines. I'm not remembering them very well. And if the rhythm is too fast for me, it kills me. So doing something fast like that joke thing, that's a real skill. What was the trick to doing Utopia?
I just put so much effort into remembering them. So I didn't even think about acting to start with.
Yeah, well, that's
it was
the trick.
Just remember the lines.
Yeah, yeah.
And I would record Rob's lines into a like a voice memo thing and leave blanks for my lines.
Right.
So I just do that over and over and over again.
And and the thing is it didn't, you still had the joy of the character and you still felt the subtext of the dialogue. So it wasn't getting lost in the process. It was congratulations. It was just a fantastic character.
Yeah, thanks, Glenn. I mean, the scripts they wrote were just so
very good.
Also, and you would both get this, because it was fun. That also made it easier.
There
was a real joy to those scenes with Rob where we were bup, back and forth.
Yeah,
there's a real joy to that.
Nothing better than hearing, okay, moving on. We got that. Got it. Moving on. Yes.
They're quick when they film too.
Yeah.
And one of the things I would love with Rob is we would do one of those scenes, a two or three page scene. It'd be bup, back and forth. And then it'd be a cut, and then Rob would just have a couple of little notes, and then he'd turn to me and he'd say, "So, do you think Melbourne's forward line's going to be any good this year?"
See, that's the smartest thing to do.
And then we'd just have this conversation about footy, which to me, because I was so naive, I was just walking, God, bloody loves his footy. Mm. But in retrospect, they're all, I think, direction techniques to
Yeah, because if you
relax and settle.
Yeah,
and,
if you try too hard, you get in your own way, and you can't. So if you just take, you've done the hard work, you've done all the learning, you've done all the preparation, then you just let go to the. This is all in there. Dave and I talk about our acting skills on the podcast all the time.
Yeah,
and,
it's your book. It's all my book.
Yeah, it's all in my book. And that's the really smart thing to do. I used to with Russell Coy, and oh God, now I'm going to ring back to me, but I wouldn't let them tell me what scene I was doing until I got to the set, because I knew what I knew the dialogue, and then
I didn't even
think about, you know, oh, gee, I better be funny in this scene. I just go, what am I doing now? Oh, you're going to get a rabbit trap on your penis. Okay, yeah, I remember this one. Okay. Yeah. So that's a really smart thing to do, and a really good lesson. But anyway, obviously the Guinness Book of Records has stood by you as far as your skills go.
Did you meet any of the officials? Or?
Yeah, so when I became a bit of a Guinness Book of Records nerd over those few years, I actually was in London doing gigs, and while I was there, I thought, well, the Guinness Book of Records headquarters are here. Why don't I just pop in and see what happens there? And I ended up meeting, I guess he's like the CEO of the Guinness Book of Records, but they call him, his official title is the Keeper of the Records.
Yeah, oh, great.
Right? Yeah, yeah. So I was expecting this sort of Gandalf-style figure to, pull out a giant book that you open with a key or something. But it was just, you know, standard dude in a corner office. But I got to sit down with him. So this is the guy who controls what goes in, what goes out, what's accepted as a record. So the Guinness Book of Records, how you get in there is you either break an existing record or you create a new record, which is how a lot of people get in. There's a guy called Ashrita Furman who has like 40 records, but they're all pogo sticking a marathon. Sprinting underwater, running a marathon while juggling, just all shit like that. Anyway, so I met him and I said to him, what is your favorite record of all of them, of all time?
Yeah.
And he said his favorite all time record is for the largest tumor.
Oh. And what is that?
So it's this woman had a tumor removed from her body, and I think the tumor weighed 95 kilograms.
I saw her in Brunswick Street the other day. Yeah, no, yeah.
That's as much as I weigh. That's almost as much as I weigh, 95 kilos.
Yeah, so it was enormous. So he was, and then he was obviously really into it because he went on a rant about the medical miracle of it. So what the doctors did, how she survived, how her life's been great ever since, et cetera, et cetera.
Wow, that is a big tumor.
It's a massive tumor, but it just kind of amused me that the Keeper of the Records, you know, you've got the tallest man ever, the longest finger, all of this stuff, and he was the biggest tumor.
Can we, just before we wrap it up, and thank you for your insight, it's done our job for us. Can you give us one of the jokes? Did you have a joke that you always closed with? Did any of them come back to you?
Yeah. So the one that I really just enjoyed the most, it just amused me because my favorite record holder is Robert Wadlow, tallest man ever. Died at the age of 22. And when he died, he was 8'11" and 1/10 of an inch, which is a shame because at 9 foot, you get a letter from the Queen.
See, your mates are laughing in the background. That wasn't a forced one. That's a real one.
Hey, thanks, Limo. That's really interesting.
Thanks, Limo.
All right. Good on you, buddy.
See you soon.
All right. Thanks, Limo. Yeah, really interesting. There you go. The Guinness Book of World Records.
Isn't it interesting when you just sort of dig down on things, the intricacies of the process? And, he actually did it a few times and went, I couldn't be bothered.
Yeah, but, he got in the book once, which is more than we've done.
And I wonder if he's got it on his shelf at home.
He's got it. Yeah, I think he's got it. I think I've seen it.
The little tags that circled on the inside. I mean, Yeah.
Show it to his kid, Here we go. Have a look at this, son. Well, let's have some thinking music then. Yeah. What do you reckon?
Well, you said something about I haven't seen 8 Mile, and I haven't seen
it. No, it's not 8 Mile. It's Funny People.
Okay.
With Adam Sandler when he's a world-famous comic.
It's good. That's good. It's good. Was Eric in
Eric's
that?
In it. Eric Banner's in it. It's very funny.
Directed by...
Yeah, we always talk about him on this. Judd Apatow.
Wow, bang. You're back on fire.
It is funny. And you've got to play the whole thing, Courtney, because it is funny. You got to get to the bit where Ray Romano... I just love the punchline.
And does Eminem know who that... Does he think they're just people or does he know that they're stars?
Oh, no, I think because it's Seth Rogen and Ray Romano.
Oh, right.
So picture this. Adam Sandler, He's like a famous comic.
Adam Sandler is, but Adam Sandler was playing a character.
And
Eminem is Eminem.
Yeah.
Right.
And they're at a restaurant eating, and Adam Sandler's character's having a crisis. Eminem's trying to counsel him. And then he notices that Ray Romano and Seth Rogen are looking at him and taking photos of him. And he doesn't like it.
Good setup.
This thinking music has some very strong language in it.
I think you fucked up. How's that? I think you fucked up. I don't think you should have took that medicine.
Why not?
I don't know. Personally, I think you should have just let yourself die. Honestly, man, what are you going to do now? Make another bullshit movie? Fuck another chick who doesn't like you? You know, that was your way out right there. Hmm. Now you're fucking stuck.
Yeah.
You're stuck just like me. Can't go to fucking Chuck E. Cheese. I can't go to Target. I can't go to Best Buy. I can't go to fucking Walmart, Kmart. You fucking name it, I can't go there.
Yeah, that's true.
Everyone in this fucking room is either staring at us, mm-hmm. wanting to take a fucking picture.
Yeah. Email that to me.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Who the fuck is that guy right there? That fucking guy right there.
What? Ray Romano's bothering you?
Who? Ray who?
Ray Romano, the guy from Everybody Loves Raymond?
I don't give a fuck what show he's on. I fuck this motherfucker up, man.
Hey, Ray! Hello, Marshall.
Fucking problem here, buddy? Would you like to fuck me? Is that what this is?
I get it, man. What's going on?
Would you like me to fucking bend over for you right now?
Like, no. No, man.
It's gotta always be on my toes, man.
Oh, you know? I see that, but that would be really.
This is why I don't go out of the house.
I thought everybody loved you.
Oh, I love
see,
it.
See, isn't just interesting? Someone has rhythm, whether they do an acting scene like with Lima, we're talking about that. He just has, he's a good actor. He's a great actor.
I love the, I thought everyone loved you, Ray. No, not everyone loves Eminem. All right, what's your answer, Glenn? Just cut straight to the chase.
Hang on. Can you have, let me have
I'll
a,
go.
Yeah.
Eminem's probably in the Guinness Book of World Records for having the most number ones in a row.
I'm going to say not dissimilar to what Limo did.
Yeah.
He had the most lyrics or words within a song.
Oh, wow. What is the answer, Sam?
American rapper Eminem's single Rap God with 1,560 words holds the record for the most words in a hit single, according to the Guinness World Records.
You've got it, Glenn.
Did I get it right?
Yep.
Wow, that would make sense though, wouldn't it?
Because he speaks so quickly.
You have been listening to Somehow Related with Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
Yeah, this is interesting. I wonder whether he would deem that a cool thing to be in the Guinness Book of Records. I wonder if he went, oh, good for me, or he went, oh, that's embarrassing. I don't want to be part of the mainstream like that. I don't want to be recognised.
He's mainstream, though. Maybe he doesn't think he's mainstream, but he is mainstream. You'd have to
say. You reckon he was happy about it?
I don't know. Let's call him. I've just called Limo.
I wonder what his voicemail would be. It'd be an interesting one, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Yo, Eminem, leave a message. Or would you go the Sam Pang route? And also, Hughie's done this where they get someone else to record it. They get their partner or someone to record it to stop pranks.
Right.
You know, like.
The days of the funny voicemail, have they gone? Is it voicemail? Is that what you call it? The thing? Because people don't ring anymore.
Oh, people still get. I still get the one occasionally. Hello? Oh, g'day. Yeah, don't. You've recorded.
Hello.
Oh,
yeah.
It's so annoying.
Yeah.
It's so annoying. Matt Damon, when I met Matt Damon.
Matt Damon met me. Yes. Oh, sorry.
That's
oh,
right. That's
God,
right.
Yes. No,
that's your joke.
That's my joke. Yeah. Matt Damon got to me.
And I said, this was years ago. He was a lovely. My wife calls him. Oh, there's your boyfriend again on TV. Because we all got on really well with Matt Damon. He was a great guy.
Of course he did.
He was. But you know that some of those Hollywood guys have a big veneer.
Well, they have a presence about them.
Yeah, but he was very friendly.
Yeah, I know when he was on the panel. Now, this is weird because he was on the panel and I can't remember whether I was on that night or not, but I had this I don't think it was on, but I feel as though I've met him because he was on. Anyway.
Anyway, so I said to him, do you get hassled off of autographs? And this was before photos maybe. And he said, no, autographs are gone. He said, the latest thing is people want me to record their voicemail
And so
he goes, this is what I do. Now, this is a bit rude. Okay, so if you've got a child listening, I'm just saying what Matt Damon told me.
Yep.
Turn it off.
Okay, just turn around now. Put your fingers in your ears of of the kids. Go, Dave.
And so he goes, so a girl come up to me and go, hi, my name's, you know, Michelle. Can you record my voicemail for me? I'm Matt Damon. He goes, yeah, sure. Give me your phone. And he goes, hey, everyone, it's Michelle. I can't get to the phone because I'm sucking cocks down at the bus stop.
Matt Damon did that.
And then he goes, well, it's up to Michelle if she uses it, but that's my voice. That's Matt Damon.
Fantastic. I got into trouble doing, not trouble, but we had Harry Shearer on the panel. And this is back in the day. This
Principal Skinner.
So what was the panel? The panel started in 98.
He does the voices of Principal Skinner.
Yeah, he does like a lot of voices.
I've interviewed him and done voices to him. Wasn't that happy about it.
No.
He doesn't like
it. Anyway, so this is back in the day when we had physical answering machines. Remember?
You had
a box.
You'd come home with the light would be flashing. You'd be so excited.
A box next to your phone, and it was answer on, answer off slide. And you would have, you know, back in the day when... I can tell a story about that, the message too, actually. Anyway, so I brought my answering machine into the panel.
Oh, to get him to record a message.
And I pulled it out from under the desk and said, can you do Principal Skinner?
Did he do it?
Well, it was that moment where there was hesitation, like, oh, you're another one. I'm going, this is a great TV moment.
Yeah.
I'm not going to use it.
Yeah, go on.
And he did it. It was very funny. But look, understandably.
Did he do it as Principal Skinner?
I can't remember. I think he probably did. I do them. I don't want to let it be known, but I do them as I do stuff like that for Russell Coit Russell Coit. Oh, I don't get
Are
in
you
contact
down the bus stop.
Oh no, man! You know, people with birthdays, but please don't ring me and say you said on your podcast. I do it for charities, and I do it if someone's doing it hard. Yeah. But it's just some bloke's turning 60. I go, you're not getting anything for free. There was the time, and I'll have to clean this story up a little bit. I was at home, I'm sorry to talk about, but I was going to the toilet. I'm going to clean this up. Anyway, go to the toilet, the phone rings. And back in those days, when the phone rings, you think it's a gig, you don't want to miss the call.
Yeah.
I run to the phone, answer the phone, and Neil goes, this is my brother, goes, you're there, are you? I said, yeah. He goes, we just rang up to hear your funny answering machine message. And I've gone something to the effect of, here I am on the toilet punching out a huge one and you ring me and interrupt my moment of glory right midway through. And then he goes, yeah, you're on speakerphone to the whole office. It just went quiet. The words I used, I've cleaned it up.
They were much more graphic
than that. And he just said, jeez. Glenn, you're just going to the whole office. Perhaps, okay, we'll let you go. Anyway.
We'll record one now. If people can take this audio
Okay.
Yeah, okay. We'll do it together.
Do you want to do it? This is for your phone?
Yeah.
And is it just us or are we in character?
No, we're just us. We're just like, hi, this is Dave.
And Glenn.
From Somehow Related, and you've rung, fill in your name there.
Yeah.
And they'll get back to you really soon.
You've probably got a message that is somehow related to your relationship with this person. And if you haven't, well, you need to get a life because really, if you just ring up about other boring shit, he doesn't want to know about it. He or she doesn't want to know about it. Oh.
Beeped.
How many times have you sat there when you have to do it on your phone? Do you do that thing where you go, because when the red light, you get red light fever.
Yeah, it's hard.
You go, hi, Glenn here. Sorry, I can't. Stop putting a voice on.
Beep.
Hi, can't do it. I'll do it again. Hi, I can't make it to the phone because
that's tough.
If you try to do a joke or something. But anyway,
It's hard.
It's like wrapping up this podcast.
Beep.